On the cover, Quint and Kat sit in the pilot and co-pilot seat of a strange spacecraft. Alina and Junie stand behind them, hanging on for their lives. All four have terrified looks in their faces. Although we can't see it, something through the windshield behind us explodes, casting orange and yellow light on their scared faces.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Call me Quint. I'm not the hero you think I am.
My name is Catherine Slayman II, but just Cat is fine.
I'm Mystic. Magic comes naturally, but keeping it contained does not.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Protean City Comics, issue number 112. Welcome to the end of everything. The first panel of the comic is going to start with Kat. You followed Quint and the rodent people back to their clearing. Where are you now? Where do we see you looking out over them, over the clearing?
Kat's sort of ducked down low, finding at least like a significant amount of foliage, best she can, to hide behind. And she's casting her gaze over Vish, the fish skeleton-like ship, taking all like all the tubes, bleeding into it with tanks, and all the people, or the rat people, scurrying around. Mm-hmm.
And so as you watch, they're double-checking that the tubes that are running into the sort of crevasse, broken glass thing are connected tightly to the ship. And as they are moving back over to this thing, they're actually almost pulling the tubes back up from where they've kind of just been like flipped over into the crevasse. And on either side, you see that... there are two of these hooded rat figures are they're driving what looks like it's the same tech as the drill, in that it's got the four weird legs, but this one has maybe twice as many legs, and it's lower to the ground. The legs are a little beefier, and what you see is it kind of like it walks up, it's driven up to the crevasse, and it kind of like lifts up its legs and clamps over to their side so that it's kind of like straddling this rift, and it kind of like clips down on like it like folds in half a little bit, so now it's like in the crevasse in a kind of but it has its legs firmly planted on either side in a way that it could almost push a little bit. Like it looks like it's designed to be able to like pull this rift open more, and like the rat who's driving it waves over, and two of the other rats kind of lift the tube up, and they connect it to the machine, and you can see that the tension on all the legs kind of hits and it starts to like it's not pushing in earnest, but it kind of locks up like it's going to be ready while they're waiting for the other side to do the same thing.
That's not good.
And the other thing that you notice is a person who is definitively not a rat creature or a rat hooded rat, because they are maybe twice as tall as a normal rat person. They have like eight octopus legs. Think a centaur, if a centaur had an octopus for a lower body, and then their top half of their body is humanoid but has four arms, and they are just like this big beefy character that has, their face is still vaguely mostly humanoid, and they just have these octopus legs, and they're moving around watching these machines get into place, and it sort of as this character is idly moving, around. It gets close, and we're gonna actually, so we see from your position the figure moves towards you, from a sheath on their back pulls out a large cleaver and is kind of cleaning at it a little bit, and we're gonna punch in even further for the comic book and get a little editor's note identifying that this is Octanus the Extinctioner. And after a moment of cleaning their cleaver, puts it back into a sheath, and walks onto the spaceship where you just saw Quint move into.
I think it's time for Kat to do a assess the situation.
Okay. So give me that roll.
That is a 7.
On a 7 to 9, you get to ask one question.
All right. How could we best end this quickly?
Whatever these people... So ignoring Octanus the Extinctioner for a second, whatever the rat people are doing definitely needs this liquid that they extracted from the different pools all over this forest. So if you could somehow spill it everywhere or something like that, that might prevent you from going home if that's what drives the ability for people to move through the dimensions, or you could put it back where it came from, but either way, taking it out of their possession would prevent them from doing whatever it is they seem to need to do.
Okay. So the liquid's being collected on the ship, right?
Yeah.
And is about to be fed
into the
beefier spider machines.
Yeah.
I think Kat's gonna try and get close to the ship and get to that central pumping point.
Okay.
Or a stuff like of the ship, is being fed into the crevices.
To where, so just so that I know, so the ship, the many tubes that were coming in from the forest kind of are pumping into the base of the ship at the bottom. But then the larger tubes that are pumping over to the spider things by the rift, they're coming out of the top. So are you teleporting up to the top of the ship?
Yeah.
Okay.
To the top of a ship. Could try and do something subtle, but I think Kat's going to directly engage the pumping system.
Okay. I don't think that the pumping system is a threat. So if you're going to try to attack it to damage it, I think that just happens. So what does this attack look like? And describe the level of damage you're trying to do to this pumping unit.
All right. So Kat's going to expend her spear out to its full length. And the tip of it starts glowing a bright pink. And she's just going to take it and then, slam it into, one of, the locations where the tube is being connected and coming out of it.
Okay. Yeah, so you jam your spear into this pump, and there it's, right where the tube connects to the... There are these big tanks that you can kind of see into, and then between where the tank is and the tube comes out, there is this connector ring that is the pump mechanism. And so I think you're able to pretty precisely, this is not a small, subtle piece of machinery. So you're able to pretty quickly jam your spear into this thing, and you hear the whine of this pump immediately cut out. And I think that actually, so there's two of them. And so if you're interested, then I think we probably see just a couple panels of you sliding under the tube and then getting over the other one and jamming your spear into that one as well. And there's no one up here watching you. So you're pretty quickly able to disable these.
Awesome.
And so you'll see that as you do that, as the second one dies out, the rat folks down on the spider mechs are starting to they're starting to look concerned. They haven't figured out what's going on yet, but they're calling other people over and they're pointing and gesturing in big gestures, looking at the what must be control, diagnostics consoles and stuff on their mechs. They're noticing that things are going wrong at least.
Okay. Next is going to be rescuing Quint from the octopus centaur.
Okay. Okay, cool. So I think we're going to cut into the ship. And I think that what we see is we see a panel of Quint washing his hands and then turning to the door of this bathroom, which slides open. And right on the other side of the door is this big hulking centaurpus, octocentaur figure.
Octator.
And they just look down at you and say, "What are you?"
Hi, call me Quint. I'll be done in just a second. Don't worry. Got to do the whole ABCs twice to make sure I got everything.
Why are you here in the ship?
To use the bathroom. So what is the suction tube thing there for?
How did
that
you
one
get in
I couldn't
here?
Really quite get.
Did they let you in?
Yeah, I asked to use the bathroom. Why are you asking me weird questions?
No one is supposed to be here.
I mean, I'm just using the bathroom, man.
Did Dorado hire you?
Which answer would you prefer?
Don't be smart with me, kid.
If
Dorado hired you to ruin the hunt and take this from me, then we will have problems.
Well, no one hired me, so if that makes you feel any better. But what are you hunting? I don't think the weird silver goo is really putting up much of a fight.
You really haven't seen?
No, I kind of just got here and then used the bathroom, like I said.
Oh, how unfortunate for you.
What can I say? I'm a poor, unfortunate soul.
They're going to back up and kind of, with one of their arms, pull you over to the big doorway of the ship. And sort of stand and point you towards this big conical thing that's like the big void space that's coming up out of this rift, and sort of like point you and like with their forearms standing behind you, sort of like guide your vision and block out some of the light around your vision and say, look at it, really look at it.
And Quint will look. What does he see?
Stopping and taking a look for a moment and putting things together, you notice for the first time that it's moving a little bit. It's not a solid. Like it's not like a part of the landscape. It's maybe organic looking, like it moves the way like that a person kind of has movement to them, even when they're not moving. And the hands that are around your face from Octanus back away as they step back into the ship, they kind of laugh and say, "I don't know where you came from, Quint. You've stumbled into a void rat hunt, and no one is making it out of this forest alive."
Not really much of a hunt if you're planning on killing yourself. Isn't that like the opposite of a hunt?
The point is to take it down first.
So people are coming out of the forest alive.
Octanus is going to walk over to there's like a weapons rack in the hallway where they have three other enormous kind of cleaver-sized shaped swords that they're going to grab. And turning back and sort of gesturing out of the ship, they're going to say, "These lot here are going to free their god and destroy the universe with it. And we're going to kill the thing before it all ends. The greatest hunt."
Oh, all right.
A final extinction to my name.
Huh. That's kind of a lot. So are you pro killing the void rat or pro letting the void rat out? Both? I'm not really sure.
It's not a hunt if it's trapped there.
All right. Huh. Well, good thing I did not pee in there.
I think that at that point is when Kat, how are you entering this ship? Are you entering the ship, I guess? But the doorway is just open, so you can probably, like, from the roof of the ship, you could hear this conversation happening.
I think Kat's gonna wait for a little bit.
Okay.
And observe.
Okay. So I think we probably get that panel of you hanging out on the roof of the ship by the cockpit where you can, so you're close enough that you can hear this conversation happening, and we're going to pull out and see for the first time a full panel of this big clearing with all of these lights and the ship, and what is now, like, from this pulled back view, very clearly the head and shoulders of this like void in the shape of a rat that is reflecting the stars and everything around it, and up above, almost above the canopy of the trees, you see like its nose and the whiskers, and we're gonna pull back and cut over to where Alina and Mystic are interacting with or having their conversation with Dorado. "I can't pay you much, and you have to let me get the final strike, but if you're interested in living, you're here, you might as well participate.
What's the bounty? What's the target here?
You really don't know what's going on here, do you?
No.
How did you get here?
An
accident? Our employer was a little vague.
Wait, right. Someone...
It activated before we were ready. You know, that's how it is.
Who's paying you to be here? Is it Octanus? Is it Thrice? Which of the other hunters?
Our benefactor prefers to keep his interests anonymous. He's very eccentric. So...
Well, I can't have you sneaking around out here in the forest, even if you are working for one of my rivals. So you'll have to come back with us. Leave the drill here.
Well, we won't be touching the drill again.
And Dorado is going to lift up this big spear thing, like spear bazooka he's got, and kind of vaguely, not fully, clearly threatening you, but he's like always got it clearly pointed towards you. He's going to kind of like bow and gesture for you to move in the direction of where earlier you saw Kat and Quint move with the rat folks.
At the start of the scene, I like forgot that we were lying. But anyway, I'm going to look at Alina and then I'm going to nod at that guy and just start walking that way because I don't see a reason to do anything else at this point.
So I'm going to sort of sidle up on the other side of Mystic and say, keep your wits about you. I'm not quite sure what the hell is going on. I usually know more by now. This is very embarrassing.
Well, it's bound to happen on your first few dimensional jumps. So, nothing to be embarrassed about.
Oh my god. Is that support from a
it does.
Team
it does
member?
Does sound like comfort and support, yeah.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Junie is sweet.
Okay, so that's a 5, minus 2, minus 1.
Oh no.
So that's 2.
It's a 2 on the dice. Dip.
Okay. I think that what Junie means is it's supposed to be like she's trying to be comforting, she's trying to be reassuring, but I think that it might come off as a little bit like demeaning and
condescending.
Condescending. I don't know if that sounds like the kind of thing that is maybe particularly kind of like tough for Alina right now.
A sore spot. Well, you know what? I think you'll find that I pick up things pretty quickly, acting like the only person who ever made an extra dimensional jump. Jesus.
We see that conversation and we see, we see that conversation happening, and then we get a couple panels of you walking, and from the end of that conversation, we see, like as it's happening, we see Dorado behind you overhearing it, and we cut in on him, and he just has this like smile on his face, like these kids don't know what they're talking about, like he's putting it together, that you're just some lost people, and that you're not here to interrupt his hunt in any way. We're gonna cut ahead to the next panel will be another like overhead shot of this clearing as you enter it. And we can see like Kat up on the roof. I think actually probably you can see Kat up on the roof. Because you like know that your friends are around here somewhere, so you kind of know what to look for in a way that the rest of these people don't.
Yeah.
And so then as you're moving towards this big ship and you see and you're all seeing this void rat head for the first time, Alina, I think you probably recognize it because you have seen the Void Rat before. You have, in fact, fought the Void Rat before. You saw
Wait,
it get
hurt. Is this the very same
yes,
Void Rat?
Yes, the very same Void Rat.
The Void Rat is a fixed point.
It was the last time we saw the Void Rat, or the last time you saw the Void Rat, was during the fight with the Trickster God, and it ended with Puck using the last of his powers to open a rift in space and hurdle the Void Rat somewhere. Now you know, here. And it must have been strong enough that it sort of cracked the universe and trapped the rat here, the Void Rat here, in this wherever this plane is. And so you can see its head kind of like moving around and wiggling in out of this crack. How do you react to that as you're entering, as you sort of like, as we walk into this and you see this for the first time?
I definitely do the soccer mom seatbelt save, where I sort of just like immediately put my hand in front of Mystic and just be like, oh, fuck. And then I see like everyone around. Oh, no.
And Dorada was going to walk past you and kind of chuckle and be like, it was your...
Nancy St. Stacy and Daisy St. Stacy.
You referred to the person who hired you as your sponsor, as your...
benefactor.
I guess your benefactor didn't tell you what you were here to hunt, did he? Or did they?
No, he seems to have forgotten that I don't care for vermin much.
During these panels, you can see that, like, Judy is, like, surprised, confused, and then still confused, like, looking at Alita, realizing, like, this girl who seems usually pretty confident is, like, all of a sudden, like, taken aback a lot, and I'm also on my toes now.
And out of the ship that's there, this hulking kind of octopus, octator shaped person walks out, kind of twirling four huge cleavers and sort of sheathes them into four sheaths on their back, and gestures behind them for Quint to follow them out.
So Quint just walks on out. He would have summoned a cleaver similar to his just to kind of play around with it, and like he's kind of like swinging it around. And this isn't really weighted very well. Have you thought of maybe a katana or a longsword?
I've used them all at some point. This is what I've settled on. Perhaps you need better training.
He'll like just kind of flip the cleaver. It's not really my style.
And then he's gonna call over,
Dorado. I see you found yourself some help. Are you scared to go into this hunt alone?
And Dorado's gonna turn back and be like, "No, they claim they're here for someone else. Who's this with you?" And he's just gonna turn to look at Quint.
Hey, I'm Quint. I just came here to use the facilities. And so apparently there is some kind of rat god here. So that's fun.
That's why we're all here. A lot of lost children today.
Yeah, well, it kind of just happens.
It's almost as if, you know, making large scale drastic changes to the environment that you live in has drastic consequences.
That kind of gives you a weird look. Like, what?
Oh, right. I forgot I'm supposed to be a very grizzled, tiny teenage girl.
What was she wearing when she was learning to crochet in your bunker?
It was probably a, it was a t-shirt and yoga pants.
So everyone else is in, like, superhero costumes, and you're still just in, like, you were in a hazmat suit, which is a little bit costumey. Mm-hmm. But now you're just in.
Well, I mean, Quint just wears normal clothes and his mask, so.
Okay.
Doesn't look that out of place with him there.
She she did try a makeup tutorial earlier, so she's got cat wing eyeliner, but it's like just a little crooked. She's not great at it yet.
And so Dorado, walking into the ship himself, comes back out with some more like really big javelins that are clearly the thing that is loaded into his current like bazooka gun thing, and he straps them onto his own back, and he just kind of like gestures at you and to Octavia Octanus, says, "Keep an eye on these children. I think that I don't know if they're telling the truth about who hired them to be here, but something is afoot. We wouldn't want anything to ruin the hunt. What are those rats doing?" And he's going to walk over towards where, like, there's now, like, four rats on each of these machines trying to figure out why they're not working anymore. And Octanus is going to walk off towards the other one and try to help figure it out, leaving the three of you kind of alone.
Kat is going to teleport to a group now that the two menacing people are wandering off.
Hey, Kat, do you know anything about a void rat?
No, but I bought us some time. I stabbed their pumping equipment.
Okay. I'm thinking it's probably a bad idea to let this thing out.
Yes.
The Ursula-looking dude seems to think it'll lead to a final extinction. Probably not good.
Yes, I overheard that.
Nancy over here seemed to recognize it. Have you seen it before? Oh, and I'm Daisy St. Stacy, by the way. And I dramatically hold my hand out to shake. This is my sister Nancy.
Okay.
Just go with it. Out of the side of her mouth.
Why are you being so weird?
The two menacing people have wandered off. So I think we're okay for a moment.
Okay, so here's the deal. That is the Void Rat. He real bad. He make things no more. That is to say, he doesn't stop making things. It means that when he gets his little paws on things, they don't anymore. They stop.
That's very bad.
Yes. The only time that we've ever dealt with it, we had to open up a rip in the space-time continuum and shove him in there. That's where I am.
Huh.
Right, okay.
Well, none of this sounds very good.
Yeah, the Void Rat, we used the Void Rat to kill a god. Like, a legit god. What was he the god of? I forget.
There's a little editor's note that says, the trickster.
Wow. That's pretty badass.
Yeah, so we probably shouldn't let them release the thing, right? Does that sound right for everyone?
Right, that is probably better than having to run away from it or anything like that, because it sounds like we might not be a match for it if it activates or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So it sounded like they were pumping up this goo here and feeding it to the rat or pumping it into it so it'll help it escape. Sounds like we've stopped that for now, but we probably shouldn't let them fix it.
Okay. So how did we stop it?
I stabbed the pumping equipment.
Good call.
That's very direct.
I can appreciate that about you.
So if anyone needs to use the bathroom, it's down the hallway and to the left. It's the room with the cedar litter box. But it's down there.
In that panel, Judy's just got one hand against her forehead.
And as you're kind of huddled up here having this conversation, as Quint points back towards the ship, you see that on the closer of the two kind of spider mech things, one of the rats who's driving it is finally standing up and pointing back towards the ship as well. And we kind of probably see that panel from like, so you can see them paralleling each other. And all of the rats and Octanus turn back towards the ship and look like pretty pointedly up towards the pumps.
That's probably not good.
They don't like, they're not waiting around. So this group of rats is going to move and Octanus and eventually Dorado as well kind of merge and find their way back to the ship. And a couple of the rats like just scurry up the side, grabbing the ribs of this like fish skeleton ship. And they're looking around and calling back down. And the one rat is just like, it looks like the pump is broken. Something broke it.
Yeah, something.
Are we alone on this ship? Did they leave the keys in the ignition by any chance?
I think there were people in the cockpit before. You're outside the ship, I think.
Oh.
You're like right next to it.
So they've all, actually.
This big group has come next to you.
I think there's a hide a key somewhere.
All right. We break into the cockpit, we hijack the ship, and we just start driving it forwards.
I'm okay with that.
For like into the pumping lines or...
Into whatever is in front of us.
And what do you think would happen if we drive it into the Void Rat?
Do we want to get close to that thing that can apparently, like, just not a god anymore?
I mean, I'm going to assume we're not going to be in the ship while it's nodding it.
How about we don't put massive amounts of weird dimensional goo near a giant dimensional rat? that apparently needs this goo to get free.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
Away from a giant dimensional rat.
And also, you might need the dimensional goo to get home to your dimension.
Yes,
thank you, helpful voice.
Okay, so if you're gonna, you're gonna try to sneak onto. I think that if you're trying to move onto this ship, they're not really watching you too closely. They're focused on these broken pumps. So are you all going together? Or are any of you gonna stay outside to like take watch or how are you doing this? What does this look like?
I think Quint is heading in and showing them where the cockpit is, just walking through the hallway. Yeah. So Mickey said that the cockpit is down this way. If you've hit the bathroom, you've gone too far, but...
Okay.
Do you think we should just stick together, especially if we start moving the ship?
I think that's wise. So we're going to go sneak up to the cockpit. Can we peer in to see
There's two hooded rat figures in there.
Okay.
I'll teleport in, distract the rat people, you follow in behind, barricade the door, and we'll try and start this thing.
Okay. So... Yeah, describe. I think that these rats are not particularly threatening still. So describe what that looks like as you teleport in and just take them out.
So there's a blink, and Kat just like appears in front of one of her rat people and just like slams her fist straight into their face, sending them reeling backwards, and then just whoops around and kicks the other one.
Okay. Yeah, and I think they go down with like one hit. Like these are not wearing armor, they're not really trained fighters, they're cultists, basically. They're just here to do their thing. And so my next question is, do any of you know how to fly a spaceship?
I have limited experience.
And if no, who's trying?
Quint's been in a spaceship and has probably played around with it, but he does not have a spaceship driving license, if that's what you're looking for.
Okay.
The only thing I can think for Judy, which I don't think I want to do, but I do have elemental awareness where I can spend a burn, but also mark a condition. I already have 4, but I can ask the GM any one question about the world around me. I don't know if that would be super useful in this situation, but I'm just going to put that out there. If we need a last minute thing, we could do that.
I think if no one else is,
I'm gonna try Clippy. Maybe this ship is made by the same company.
Okay. Right.
Hey, ship, remember me? I would like, and I'm just sort of tapping to the rhythm of what I'm saying on the buttons, I would like to go away from here because it's dangerous. Help. Help. Escape. We're control alt delete.
I think that
was that charming enough to work?
I think that it doesn't respond. I don't know that this ship has a voice, but you've definitely said enough keywords that like one of the seats has like these arms extend up and they have clear joysticks on them for trying to drive or pilot this ship.
Cool.
So it has at least activated the controls.
Quint's going to hop into that seat and try to make it go.
Okay.
Are there other seats we can get into?
There is one other seat, yes. So which of you scrambles to the seat the fastest, I guess?
Cat can teleport.
That's true.
I'm okay with standing.
I can stand in the back and hold. I assume there must be at least like a handle on the wall or somewhere.
Yeah, there's some
handholds. I'll just stand back and hold that.
Yeah.
So, okay, Quint, I would like you to roll to unleash your powers to drive this ship, just to see how badly it goes or how well it goes.
Awesome. I only have a freak of 0. This should be perfectly fine. That is a 7. Hey, look at that.
All right.
Yes.
So on a 7 to 9, or so on a hit, you do it. You're going to be able to move this ship. But on a 7 to 9, you can either mark a condition or I'll tell you how it's unstable or temporary.
I'm going to mark a condition. I'm going to mark insecure again. That definitely won't come up later.
Okay. Cool. So you kind of like wiggle on the joysticks a little bit. And there's like some pedals.
This is a Unix system. I know this.
and like as you sort of like start to move, like put your hands on it, some more of the controls light up, As it detects that there is a user who intends to use the controls here. Some like 3D holographic HUD stuff pops up, and I think there's even like a video from the side rear of the ship, so you can see that the thrusters have come on, and you feel the ship kind of lift up onto a bubble of like it's like it was on the ground and it has lifted up now, and it kind of is like wobbling a little bit as it's just like hovering over the ground. So are you trying to take this? Are you just trying to drive, literally trying to drive straight forward? Are you trying to go up a little bit to get above the trees?
I think driving up and away is the goal here.
Okay. So you, I don't know that anyone closed the door behind you, to the outside of the ship. And so I think that you can hear through the hallway back towards where the bathroom is, you hear like some yelling from these rats as they are scattered as this ship sort of takes off, and you hear like a ting 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 as all of the like the lines that are that were attached to this ship, some of them get disconnected, and there's like the ship is like, as you're moving up and forward, like it gets jerked to one side as a couple of the lines that weren't disconnected like catch on a tree and spin the whole ship a little bit, and it takes you a little bit to like fight the controls, but you're able to right the ship a little bit, and the last couple pipes cables disconnect, and I think that like I think this is the cool visual, as we get like from within we get a couple panels of within the cockpit of the ship is turned to the left as like those cables hook onto trees, and like the ship spins a little bit, and it kind of does probably a full 180, and so you can see as the whole ship just rotates, you can see that like there's this group of scattered rats on the ground, and now you two from this sort of big pulled back vantage point can see this now what is very clearly a mouse rodent like head sticking up out of this crack in the ground, and everyone is scattered. You don't see Octanus or Dorado down on the ground though. But you now, as you spin back around into the direction that you were intending to head, you are lifted up above the tree line and have control of this ship to somewhat.
Quint, does there seem to be any controls that would let us like deposit the gel on the ground? Like maybe we could just start dropping it into craters.
We can start pushing buttons, but I have no idea what most of these do.
I guess Kat will drag herself into the co-pilot's chair and start trying to figure out what it does. So Kat is going to assess the situation.
Cool.
And that is an 8.
Nice. All right. So on a 7 to 9, you get to ask one question.
What here can I use to dump the goo?
So as you are poking around at these controls, I think that there's like a whole bunch of really like analog switch. Like I think all of this is largely a lot of analog switches rather than buttons, but you flip a couple of the switches and like again a hologram of this fish ship pops up, and you see that as you are like it sort of starts to rotate around, and as you're flipping some switches and like you're starting to get the hang of where how all these controls work, you're able to like toggle a thing that highlights one of the tanks, and there is like an alert pops up, like so you're pretty sure that you have like you know that. You think you've selected the tank, and you're pretty sure that you have you know how to like do an emergent like and you think you know how to reverse basically the pump to pump back out. And as you kind of like hover for a second and then maybe cautiously flip it, and it pops up with an error that says like that it has detected that there isn't a hose or there isn't a tube connected, and that if you wish to engage in an emergency purge of the tanks, you'll have to do that from the emergency tank purge console on the tank.
Manually.
You have to do it manually.
Fun.
And so then it like as this hologram is rotating around, it zooms in, and you can see that at the back of this like cockpit section of the ship, There is a console highlighted in red in the hologram that has a little bit of a lever animation on it. So it's inside the ship. You don't have to go outside onto the tank, but that's where you'd have to activate the emergency override to let you purge the tanks that way. But you will not have as fine control as if you had a tube.
Okay. Are we all in agreement that we're going to pull the lever?
Our yes. choices are either dump the goo or take it with us. So and I'd really rather not have let them have it.
And where are we going to take it? Into space? We need it to leave, probably, right?
Yeah, we need a little bit of it.
Yeah, we came in through an untapped well of this goo, right? We popped out and we hadn't drilled. So we can get back to that clearing, we can get home.
Okay. I'm willing to accept that logic. So Alina's going to look at the directory hologram to see where it's located, the mm-hmm. lever. And she's going to be like, all right, I've got this. And she goes out of the cockpit.
Okay.
To, a completely empty plane, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Sure. So the way that I'm imagining this is there's the cockpit at the head, and then there's a long hallway that runs along the center of this, off of which are the rooms that have there's a big open room behind the cockpit that had the armory in it, and there's the mm-hmm. bathroom, and then there's a couple bunks, and then there's a big common space, and at the back of the common space, there is a it's a small mess hall. That's what I mean by common space. And then there's a mechanical room that has this override. And so you make your way back. It's pretty straightforward, Alina, and into this mess hall room that has it's not huge. This is a pretty small crew, but there's two tables here and a booth. And as you move to put your hand, as you move to open and unlock this mechanical room where this override is, Octanus steps out of the hallway from where having just entered just after you, and says, "Where are you going, child?"
Oh, thank goodness. I was just thinking of how I needed a hand in here.
I need you to
Looks
step
like
away
you've
from
got me. Had some despair.
I need you to step away from the mechanical pool.
No, I don't think I'm going to.
And they're going to draw a couple of these big cleavers. And start to march because they have a lot of legs, but whatever, whatever the verb for how octopuses move.
Perambulate?
Yeah, sachet. Perambulate. Slide towards you.
A rolling suctiony type.
Yeah. With what is verily a clearly an intent to attack you once they get close enough.
Alina's going to go atomic blonde on him. And try to disarm him with, or basically wait till he gets close enough that she can slam the door into his face.
Okay.
And so, then knock the knives out of his arms.
Okay. So I would like you to roll to directly engage the threat.
Okay. 11 plus danger, okay. which is a zero.
On a 10 plus, you trade blows and get to pick two from the list. It sounded like what you wanted to do was take something from him, which maybe mm-hmm. is at least one of his cleavers.
Yes.
What else would you like to select?
I want to impress, surprise, or frighten.
Okay. Describe what this looks like.
Basically, Alina waits for him to sort of lean in menacingly because at this point, he thinks he has all of the upper hands.
Yes.
A lot of hands.
So she just waits for him to get within range and then very quickly slams open the door into the bridge of his nose and uses her telekinesis to do a shockwave almost of pushing against his limbs.
Oh,
and,
cool.
So that at the very least he's very surprised and maybe let's go of the knives.
Yeah, I think that's great. So yeah, you hit him in the face, and as they're recovering from this blow, loses grasp on all of these cleavers, and you sort of mind blast them away.
Hey guys, we have company. Alina shouts.
Oh, so you yell over his like his over past him. We have company. And he looks down at you and says, "Maybe I misassessed your combat ability. You might be a fun hunt as well." And is going to kind of like reach down and grab you with all four of his arms and just start like squeeze hugging you as hard as he can. And I would like you to take a powerful blow.
Shit. 7.
Okay. That's good. So you choose one from the list, lash out verbally, provoke a teammate, foolhardy action, or take advantage of your influence, which I don't think you have. Nope. Give ground, your opposition gains an opportunity, you struggle past the pain, mark two conditions.
I think I'm going to lash out verbally.
Okay. So you had sort of said, hey guys, we have company. What are you asking them to do that's foolhardy?
Could anyone with any sort of supernatural abilities please present themselves towards the back of the ship? We need a price check on calamari and cleavers.
Wait, calamari is squid.
That's squid, right?
So not the point right now, Quint.
Cat will teleport and help out.
Bam.
Cat will directly engage Octopus Man.
Okay. Give me that roll.
That is a 7.
Okay. So on a 7 and 9, you trade blows and you get to choose one from the list.
We're going to take something from them, which is Bear Grasp on Elena.
Okay. So how are you prying their arms away?
So Kat's gonna do a quick series of teleports over to a mechanical room and then just like fall on top of the octopus guy and like drive the butt of their spear down onto like the base of their neck and just send like a quick burst of electricity. Ooh. Through their body.
Okay. Yeah. And I think we see like one small, we see like a couple panels of that happening. We get the like panel of like the octopus skeleton inside as they're like electrocuted a little bit. And and then like it all, they kind of like for the second time in maybe like 4 seconds, their arms kind of get like blasted away from whatever they're trying to do. And Alina, you're able to fall backwards into this open door of this mechanical room. And Octanus turns around to face Kat and sort of like starts to like pace, like kind of like doing that, like that prowling thing that predators do, but circling around so that Alina isn't behind them, and kind of like moves over and picks up one of the cleavers off the ground, keeping an eye on Kat, and says, perhaps I have misinterpreted all of your potential here.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty true.
Dude.
I don't like to get into a fight that I can't win, and you don't seem to be the last of your kind, so there's no extinction on the line here.
What a creep.
Why don't I let you go, and I'll leave. Return to the hunt. I don't think you need to die today.
Well, that's a certainty.
I have a better suggestion. You leave out of that open ramp and fall right down to the ground. I think that leave was in pretty good shape.
And Octanus is going to...
Hope there's a sale on arm casts.
Octanus slides past you quicker than someone who is just like casually moving in control of a situation, and a little bit more like someone who is scared and running away, and in fact does like hurl themselves out of the side of this plane. And if you look down, we'll see like a panel of all of the octopus legs kind of like flick out, and webbing extends between the legs, and they kind of like use that to parachute down into the trees somewhere below you.
I didn't think that would actually work.
You know, he was really more like takoyaki.
Okay, there we go. That's it.
Okay, so we need to secure the rest of the ship, I think.
Are you going to? So, yes. Okay, so jumping back to Quint and Mystic, who are in the in the cockpit now. What are you doing with this ship? Where are you driving it? Where are you flying it? What is your plan here? You've heard that there's some combat going on behind you. I don't know that you know that Octanus has jumped out of the ship yet.
I think we have pretty good faith in Kat, and Lena seems like she can handle herself, so I'm not too worried about them. So I think Quint is just trying to get a better handle of the controls and just fly away from the Void Rat. And
So while that was happening, I saw that Kat left. She's much faster than me, so I decided to stay put. But I'm a little bit on edge, and I'm drawn more of my light magic into my hands. And I look over at Quint and say, I think I need to blow up the drills. I don't like doing this sort of thing, but if we just leave, they could just start up over again. At least if I blow up the drills, they won't be able to continue so fast.
Sounds like a plan to me. And Quint's going to turn the ship and try and find the drills that we saw earlier.
Okay, I'm going to go look for that opening so I can shoot through it.
Cool. So as you, so I think you're able to maneuver the ship down below the sort of canopy of leaves. And once you get down there, like there, I think there is again this weird effect where you feel like this should be difficult because there's a lot of trees. It should be difficult to weave this large ship between the trees. But again, as you move through, there's always kind of this clearing that moves with you, and you're never quite running into the trees the way you would expect. And so, yeah, I think, Junie, you're able to like go over to this where this big door that's still open on the side of the ship. And so what I think that, so again, like these drills are not, really a threat, but they are moving as you move past them. So why don't you give me an unleash your powers roll just to sort of like see how well you can control your powers to hit these like finely moving targets as they move past us.
Right. That's a 9 plus 1, -2. So it's still a 7 and 9.
Okay.
So we get a panel that is like a close up of her hands. She's put them together, but they're not touching. And she slowly pulls them away, and a big ball of shining, sparkling light is in between them. And you can see that she's like pulling it until it's like her hands are like shoulder width apart, and she shoots the first one.
Are you going to mark a condition, or do you want it to be unstable or temporary?
I think it has to be unstable or temporary. Okay.
You fire off a couple blasts to hit as these drills are kind of like moving past us, and you're moving through the trees. I think we see this from another point of view, from the point of view on the ground next to one of the drills, and we see the ship kind of heading toward us, and a flash of light as the energy hits this drill, and the drill is still connected. This one drill that we are next to is still connected to one of the tubes, and as this blast of energy hits it, that energy kind of starts to pulse down the tube, and there is like what you can't see, but what we can see as the readers here is that there's still enough of this sort of liquid in the tube that it reacts to this energy explosion and starts to like explode down the tube, and the tube actually like lifts up, and as it's exploding, as it's just sort of reacting to pressures and stuff, and it whacks the back of your ship as it passes by and explodes right on one of the engines. And so back in the cockpit of the ship, you see like Quint, you see on the like hologram that represents the ship, one of the big engines in the back is now flashing red, and the ship kind of like turns and starts to roll a little bit, and you're kind of fighting it for control, and Kat and Alina in the back where you guys are, you're kind of thrown a little bit around this room as the ship starts to tumble end over end, and you've really at this point I think lost control of the ship. Like you're struggling, Quint, a little bit, and you're kind of keeping it pointed in somewhat of the right direction, but you're able to get it to hit at least I think nose first, so that the nose of the ship is taking the brunt of this blow and not the side of the tanks, which you now know are filled with chemicals or whatever this liquid is that may be explosive, but is also kind of valuable. And you hit and the ship just kind of like drags and slides in to the ground and eventually after a moment, it creaks to a stop and the last of the engines kind of like sputter out. And everyone has a moment to kind of get themselves back together.
Sorry for the rough landing. Everyone's still mostly in one piece.
And I just let off like,
Cat will look around.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Nothing I haven't had before.
Oh. Alina has been in a few crashed spaceships.
I'll bet.
Seems like every time you go into a spaceship, actually. We see, I think, a couple panels of you all brushing yourselves off and maybe walking outside of the ship. I think it's tilted to one side so that this opening on the side of the front head of the ship is like lifted up a little bit. But you're able to jump down and move around, and you have successfully made it back to basically where you started. You can see the drill, the one remaining drill that is not standing over one of the craters. It's just kind of like off by itself where you left it when you ran into Dorado earlier. And you have all of this weird liquid with you on the ship. What is your plan for finding your way out of here, returning this liquid to where it's supposed to be? What do you do?
I think we need to just open the thing up and let it fill up this divot that we're in. I don't think we have much of any other choice.
Slice the tanks.
Yeah.
Open.
Just puncture a bunch of holes in the tank.
So when you go back there and to look around, you don't have to puncture the tank. The tanks have connectors where like a tube would be able to connect, but there are some physical overrides there. And now like there was a manual override for the control system inside the ship. But now that you're here on the ground, for whatever reason, however that happened, you can just like flip the switch here manually on the side of the ship. And you are in this kind of like larger divot crater of where your ship has like hit the ground here and dragged. Are you trying to fill that with what with this liquid? Or are you trying to like get it off into the smaller craters?
What do you guys think? I'm thinking just one big lake of goo is probably easiest.
Are we anywhere near the Void Rat?
No, you're very far away now.
Okay. Yeah, and one big lake of goo coming up.
Okay. So I think we get a couple panels of you like turning cranks on these different tanks here, and the ship kind of like this like weird metallic liquid pouring out of these tanks and into this like sort of impromptu crater around your ship. And when it starts to get deep enough, the ship starts to like creak a little bit. Let me ask this. As this liquid starts to fill this area around you, are you standing in it or have you gotten up on top of the ship or something away from it?
I think standing on top of the ship would look the most dramatic for a panel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you're up on top of the ship and it starts to creak, and in a way that shouldn't be physically possible because you know you crashed into this ground and it was pretty hard. As soon as the silvery liquid fills up maybe like a foot deep, the ship starts to sink into it.
Quinn's going to turn to Alina. I have no idea if we're going to the same place or not, or if we're heading back home, but he's going to pull out a business card and hand it to Alina. And it just says, Quint, not a hero. And if you happen to find a me, wherever you are.
I am actually going to do elemental awareness in this moment.
Okay.
So how this works for Junie is that she like kind of like closes her eyes and like holds her hands like together in front of her. And she uses her magic to... like she sends it out like in a pulse that lets her like sense the world around her. And so what this move is that I spend a burn and mark a condition to open up my mind to the world with me and my powers. And I can ask anyone question about the world to the GM, and you have to answer honestly. And I'm just going to ask, like, if all of us jump into this goo, is everyone going to end up in the world they were in right before this? Like, or should, or is there something else we need to do to get Alina to go where she needs to go and the three of us to go where we were before?
That's a good question.
And I'm marking angry because I'm mad that they are, like, these people are messing up with, like, this dimensional stream flow, whatever.
So you, as you extend your mind to take in this world around you, you do really now get a sense that this is a hub world, like, and that each of the sort of craters that were full of this liquid previously were gateways to different dimensions. They were they were pools to other worlds. And that this you have commingled kind of all of this liquid together into one big pool. And you, I think as the ship even starts to sink down lower, you have a what is the thing called? It's a you have this NEA device that lets you travel between worlds, and as you get closer to this interdimensional liquid, it activates and like turns on for the first time since you've been here, because it suddenly has like a connection back to the however it works that had been blocked previously, and so you will be able to guide yourself back. You will be able to find your way back to your world, but Alina will be. But unless you want to bring Alina with you, like this is just sort of like you haven't like the old craters were portals to specific places, but you have made a portal to a generic place between worlds, which you can navigate through, but Alina can't necessarily. So if you want to find a way to get Alina back to her world, you might need to find a way to fill her crater.
So I think probably Kat is the one that has the NEA in her pocket because of her many pockets and her expertise with that device. I don't know if she can feel it turn on, but I'm saying, wait, we need to be careful about this if Alina's going to go the right way back.
Right. Do you think I need to, like, fill the crater that I woke up in?
Do you know which one that was? Do you have a good sense of direction?
It's where the it's right there over by where the hazmat suit is.
Perfect.
If I have a receptacle, I'll just use telekinesis.
Yeah, I was gonna say you can probably just use your mind powers to scoop it up.
Yeah, I'm gonna go over to what I assume is like the mess hall of the spaceship and grab like a container. And just say, can I borrow a cup of extra dimensional liquid, please? and just hold it. It use my telekinesis to sort of hold it underneath one of the valves that is the liquid is flowing out of.
Okay. Yeah, you're able to fill up this bucket with some of this metal liquid. You are running out of time though, because the ship that you are standing on is sinking now more rapidly as the crater around it fills up with liquid. So you've got to get over to your own crater and fill it before this ship falls in.
I can make a hard magic step that you can use to jump on to get back to shore.
That would be great.
So we've used moat kind of abstractly in our game, but I've used it to make walls before. But so what I'll do is make a like something, you know, parallel to the ground so that she mm-hmm. can jump off the ship onto that and then onto the ground when she's ready. But before that, I'll just be like, it was really nice to meet you.
Likewise.
Just say, maybe we'll see you around. Maybe not.
I don't know, the way my life has been going, it's probably pretty likely.
Same. with ours.
You also know that there are other versions of you all over the universe, the multiverse as well.
Yeah.
You just saw a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. You'll always have a friend in Protean City, Earth. Whatever dimension I'm from.
Well, what dimension am I from, Kat? And I look at Kat. I haven't memorized the numbers yet.
I don't remember. We just call it Prime.
I don't know. She's feeling kind of impish, so she sort of uses the step, jumps onto the step while carefully balancing the Tupperware of liquid, and sort of dumps it into the crater. And then she sort of like looks back and says, "It's really been nice talking with you guys. I do want to note it's really important. It's vital that you." And then she's just going to jump into the liquid.
You pour out this liquid, and as you jump into it, there isn't a lot left. But like even in the time that you have been gone, the crack at the bottom where this drill had drilled through has sealed up now. And so when you spill out the liquid into the Earth crater, or the crater for our world, it holds just enough at the bottom that when you step in, you feel that same slurping through yourself, except this time from the top of your head down into your feet, and you are pulled down. And as you're right before you black out, you see this final panel of your new friends on the big ship, kind of finally slowly descending into its own crater of metallic liquid and sliding off into its own world. And you fall out of the ceiling crack in the secret basement bunker of your bunker, and you fall and like hit the concrete floor where there was a wet puddle, and you kind of, I think you feel wetness, but as you roll over and look down, there isn't a wet puddle of weird metallic goo anymore. It's dissipated. It's gone. And I think the final panel of our comic is just Alina kind of like laying on the ground, spread eagle on the concrete floor of this bunker.
Well, that went well.
You turn to the last page of the comic to find a page of letters to the editor. Do you have questions or comments? Send your letters in written or short audio format to letters@protean.city. We'll publish your letters with every issue and a response from our editors.
Hey, editors. The recent crossover arc has me wondering, if you were a teen that was new to Protean City, where would you go to hang out and make new friends? Your fan, Juniper Berry 34.
Thanks for writing in, Juniper. If you were a new kid in town looking for a place in Protean City to hang out, there are a lot of fun places to hang out around the Protean City boardwalk. Well, no, wait, hang on. That gets attacked by villains a lot. Okay, never mind. There are always informational events and club fairs going on at all of the Protean City public schools. Actually, those seem to get attacked a lot, too. Protean City is full of big open squares, like in front of City Hall, where teens can... I'm not even going to finish that. Never mind. That gets attacked the most. Maybe ride the subway? The subways are pretty safe. They've got bunkers in each stop. I hope that helps.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter @AndTheMeltdowns. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter @HerlockHolmes1.
Quint is played by Eric. He can be found on Twitter @PrimeFactorX01. And as a silky smooth fae on the Shadows of St. Fleur podcast. Mystic is played by Siobhan, who can be found @SpellboundMage on Twitter. Kat is played by Allison Catherine, who can be found on the Otherwear and St. Fleur Discords. She also voices Jeremiah Crawford on the Shadows of St. Fleur podcast. They can all be found on Otherwear, a masks podcast about superpowered teens traveling through the multiverse, being heroes, and trying to find a place to fit in.
The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.